Parshas Balocha begins with Aaron HaKohen lighting the menorah. Speak to Aaron and say to him, when you kindle the lamps toward the face of the menorah, shall the seven lamps cast light. And the operative Pasuk Gimel, Aaron did so. Vayaskein Aaron, toward the face of the menorah he kindled its lamp, and Hashem had commanded Moshe. And the obvious question, which we have Rashi that says, Vayaskein Aaron, and Aaron did this, Lagit Shivcho Shel Aaron Shiloshina. Rashi teaches us, based on the Medrash, to tell us the Shevach, the praise of Aaron, that he didn't change. So the obvious question is, the question, the pasuk is that Aaron did this. Would we have thought otherwise? Of course Aaron would do what Hashem commanded. So what does Vayaskein Aaron come to teach me? What does it mean that an Aaron did it? Duh, of course he did it. We learn from here that he didn't change. He did exactly as he was told. So, which begs further the question, source number three. If this is something difficult, I can understand why the Chumash would tell us, you know, to walk into the Kodesh Kedoshim was so hard, and to be marked here the Ketorah, and Aaron did this. Wow! He was able to follow the instructions. Even then, I would question it. But to have all the wicks face the inner, you know, wick, is that so difficult? Right? If I ask Kain Aaron, like, if the Chumash, every single pasuk, every single letter in the Chumash is important. So what do we learn from Vayaskein Aaron? What do we learn from this Chazal Melamed Shiloshina? Before we begin our Mahalach Emir Tashem, I'd just like to make mention of the Gevaldic insight that Deber Moshe has in source number 4, the Usher of a Rebbe. Does that sound? V'hainu Shaydei Hadlakas Hanero Shaita Bikara Pula Ruchanit La'arat Nishmatayim Shal Yisrael. The lighting of the candles wasn't just a technical light. We know the lighting of the candles was a spiritual light. It ignited Klal Yisrael. Nasu Yisrael Kein Ubasis Lavadat Hashem. Ki Bekoach Hatara Shechnis Bahem Aaron Zachud Litalo B'Masayim. So Vayas Kein could mean the Kano, the stand. Vayaskein Aaron, through lighting the menorah, created that Klal Yisrael would be able to hold. They would be a basis. They would be able to hold their avodas Hashem. Vayaskein Aaron is not just talking that Aaron did this. Of course he did it. But Vayaskein Aaron affected that Klal Yisrael were going to be able to have toward the face of the menorah, that they are going to have that vision of the Avodas Hashem. That was the Kiddush, that Aaron's lighting not only affected the menorah, it affected the souls of every single person, that they were ignited in their Avodas Hashem. That's an approach. I'd like to take a look, really, at three different aspects that we learn for our own lives, in our own Avodas Hashem, from Vayaskein Aaron, the Rashi, Lagich Vacho Shel Aaron Shloshina, the Shevach, the praise of Aaron, that he didn't deviate in iota. I'd like to look at it in three levels. And I'd like to introduce these three levels with an important yisod that we've touched on before. We've touched on some of these ideas before, always with a different perspective. And we'll begin with this Hakdama, this yisod, to be able to appreciate the three levels. It's like a background before we enter into the three levels from our Rivlin Sefer Parshios. He says, when we take a look at source number 5, we take a look at the Chumash, we notice that in Parashat Bereishit, there are certain phrases that repeat itself over and over again within each day of creation. And one of those phrases is the phrase, Vayhi Chein, and it was so. He knows, albeit it's not mentioned on the Thursday, on the fifth day, but it's repeated at the beginning of the sixth day, which is really going back to the fifth day. Vayhi Chein means, and Hashem envisioned something, he created something, Vayhi Chein, and it was. It was established. The one exception is the first day. Achein b'yom harishon, the asterisk in 5, lo nichta, Vayhi Chein, it doesn't say, and it was so. B'yom harishon ne'mar, v'yom elokim yihior. On the first day it says, let there be light. V'yior, and there was light. V'lo v'yi chayim, and that, and it was so. L'chora ha'sibam l'shmatabura. At first glance, it's clear. Why? B'briyat ha'or lo yitkayim ki v'yachor v'tzor shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because it wasn't v'yi chayim. There was light, but it wasn't that established light that Hashem had envisioned. Sharia or Rishon Nikdaskaya Dua. We know that original light was hidden. And that's why the Torah says, Vayomer Lakim Yehi Or, let there be light. It wasn't the same light that Hashem had originally envisioned. And the Medrash says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, or the bracket, Shebarak HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yom HaRishon, that original light that Hashem created on the first day, Adam Sofe Bomi Sofa Alam Vat Sofo, Adam HaRishon was able to see, right, he had it for 36 hours, able to see that original light from one end of the world to the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaFlaga, there'll be later generations of corruption, the generation of the flood, the generation of the dispersion, and therefore he saw that they would be worthy to have this light. And therefore, Hashem nignas, he hid this light where? He hid it for the righteous people in the future. So now we understand, it says with Zohar HaKadosh, that when Aaron HaKohen lit the menorah and the Aaron 5, Garam Ba'adlakato leaves Galus HaOr HaGadol, Aaron HaKohen had the ability, when he lit the menorah, that he brought some element of that original light into this world through the lighting of the menorah. That's why it says, and the Malbim brings us down in his Perush, Vayas Kain Aaron. Vayas Kain is the tikkun, is a rectification of the missing Vayhi Kain, and it was so. It wasn't so. When was it so? Vayas Kain Aaron. That Kain, that level of completion, which wasn't there beforehand, is there now. And indeed, the word vayas, he notes in the squiggly on the bottom, vasiyam lashon tikut. We have places like vastatsi pernah by the Eshet Yifat Torah, that the asta is to be metake, to rectify. Vayas came. Not only he did, it was a rectification of the Cain of that experience. And indeed, as our Schlesinger points out in source number 6 and 7, there's a medrash that says, Lo kein rishayim, al kein lo yakum rishayim v'mishpat. Based on the pasuk, took him into Elam, that the rishayim say, lo kein, it is not so. And therefore, the rishayim aren't going to be able to stand in the day of judgment. When the rishayim says, lo kein, Hashem says, that's why I can't have a yichayim, let it be so. Because of the wicked people, I'm not able to have this light. The tikkun, obviously, is through Aaron HaKohen, whose whole aspect is to be able to rectify the wicked people. Aaron HaKohen's job was Ohev Shalom V'Rodev Shalom Ohev Et Avrios V'Karvan LaTorah. Aaron HaKohen rectified those wicked people. And therefore, since Aaron HaKohen had the ability to ignite the hearts of the people and bring them closer to Hashem, and that's why the lighting of the menorah is really a symbolic understanding of what Aaron was about. He's lighting that the pintel yid, the pure part in every Jew. So therefore, when Aaron HaKohen lit these menorah, he was able to bring back that Or HaGadol that Hashem says is not good for the Rishoyim. But in the generation, that generation, when people had that tikkun, so the menorah became that symbol of the rectification where the world can indeed be able, on some level, to appreciate this light. On this level, the Be'er Moshe adds in source number 8, what do we learn from this? The Shevach, the praise of Aaron is that it wasn't changed. The original intention of the world wasn't changed. Rather, it reverted back to the way it was. And there's a Gilui Or Tamir V'Ne'alam. This original light has come to its fruition. So what we've seen so far, my friends, is Vayaskein Aaron is not just technical and Aaron lit the menorah. Rather, Aaron was able to bring back this Or HaGadol, this concealed light. He was able to bring Klal Yisrael to a level of igniting in them, sparking in them that closeness to Hashem. And this is a tikkun of the first day of creation. If we just take this idea one step deeper, and then we can be able to, Mirtz Hashem, examine these three levels. What was this Or HaGadol? What is so special about it that Hashem says, Rishayim, they can't appreciate it. And Aaron HaKohen was able to bring it back. What is it about this light? What is it about Aaron HaKohen? And obviously, what's the message for us? So Rav Rivlin, once again, in source number 9, he says, Ma ra'u be'or ha'gadus, shelo ra'im be'or ha'rakil. Like, you know, I have light on right now. I have the sun outside. Like, what is the difference between that concealed light, the or ha'gadus, and any other type of light? What's the difference between the light of the righteous and the light of the wicked? Light is light. So, to shed some light on this. And also, what does it mean that when Adam Arishon, or the original light, was created, you can see from one end of the world to the other? What does that mean? So he explains the following. The regular light, the light that we have, ro'im d'muyodo chavetzim, we see objects, v'ilo otzrim et ha'riyah, u'masterim itanu et mashama chareyim. We see whatever object it is, but it hides something behind it. So let's take the bookcase that's behind me. If I would ask you, what do you see behind me? You would say a bookcase, right? What I stop is at the wood. I stop at the structure of the wood. I see a bookcase. What I don't see, what I don't realize, be'or ha'ganuz ro'im she'ein od mavado v'hu m'malei kol chalal ha'olam v'olamos. Kishi b'vinim she'kol ha'lokot shum davar lo otzer v'lo mastir. What I don't see is godliness in this bookcase. I don't see the or, that light, that godliness that's hidden in every aspect, that there's no place void of God. When you're able to see from one end of the world to the other, you're seeing Shekane laid utter dibipnei mine cloud, that there's no place void of God. In this aspect of that Hashem is one and His name is one. What does this mean? We know, Medrash tells us, when Avraham Avinu went to the Akedah, to the binding of Isaac, he sees a mountain, and he sees an anan kashur lahar, as she tells us. He sees a cloud over the mountain. He says, Yitzchak, what do you see? He says, I see a mountain with a cloud over it. He turns to his two servants. He says, what do you see? They say, well, we see a mountain. What does Avraham Avinu say? Shvu lachem poim achamor, sit here with a donkey. And Chazal explained, what does it mean, sit here with a donkey? Is it some type of insult? No. It means that you and the donkey see on the same level. What is a donkey? Chamor is chumriyot, physicality. All you see is the physical. All you see is that which is in front of you. But you're missing the whole beauty of what's really there. You know, if we just look at this for a moment from a scientific perspective. When I look at this bookcase behind me, I know that this is wood. And I know that inside the wood there are particles. So there are atoms and there are neurons and there are electrons. And that's about all I remember from chemistry in 10th grade. But there are all of these field forces, positive, negative, right? There's a lot going on there. Right, when I look at the wood, I don't see all of that. I just see wood as wood, because my vision is limited. If I were be able to really see scientifically, I'd be able to tell you a lot more than that wood. And if I'm able to see it spiritually, I could say, wow, every single thing that is found in this world, hu amar vayhi hu tziva vayamot, Hashem commanded, and therefore it is. A leaf outside isn't a leaf just because it grew on a tree. It's there because Hashem commanded that it should be there. That's looking at the eyes of spirituality. That's seeing misofo lom vatsofo. What does that mean? That nothing blocks me from being able to see the godliness that's found there. The moment I have regular light, it means that there is no place for me to see God. And that's why Hashem had to conceal this light for the wicked people. Because if the wicked people saw God with such clarity and nevertheless sinned, then their level of culpability, accountability would be that much greater. And therefore there was no option, but they had to die. The light had to be concealed in order to be able to save these wicked people from a total, being totally demolished. Aaron HaKohen had that ability. Aaron HaKohen, who it's not by accident, the letters Aaron are the letters near E. If you move around the letters, to be able to see. The beauty of Aaron was his ability to see, ayin by ayin, that you're able to see eye to eye, that Hashem's presence is found here. And hence, Aaron HaKohen, the Anane HaKavod, is the Sukkah. Sukkah is from the Tzchach, of God's presence that's hovering over, being able to see that godliness. That's what the Sukkah is all about. That's what Aaron HaKohen is all about. That is what the menorah is all about. How was Aaron HaKohen able to do this? So this, my friend, gets us into appreciating these three levels. When I understand what the Or HaGadlus is about, I understand that everything is godliness. Now I can be able to appreciate what was the greatness of Aaron HaKohen and what message we can get for our lives. Let's take a look on three levels. Level number one. Continuing Rav Rivlin, source number 9, in the bracket. There's a Mechane Meshutaf. The common denominator in Aaron HaKohen is Bitul HaYesh. Is the being able to nullify self. Aaron no margish ve no margish et ishiuto miuchede kemisha matlika to menorah. Kemosha demacher haya machshiva mipael. It wasn't about Aaron HaKohen. He was able to realize that there's something greater than just himself. When you put yourself into the picture, you block. Our egos are big blockers, and then you can't see godliness. What Aaron HaKohen had was the ability to nullify himself, right? That's why Aaron was able to be happy, that he's not jealous that his older brother was taking over, because it's not about me. It's about the will of God. And this is what the Birkas Mordechai, Rav Yitzrachi, echoes in source number 10. All the Nasim have brought their korbanos in last week's parsha. The Nasi of Levi, quiet, Aaron isn't called. It's like, what's going on here? Finally, Hashem says, you know what? I have a job for you. Your job is to light the menorah. You could imagine that Aaron HaKohen would be full of simcha, full of passion, and he would try to do it in the best way, you know, and be creative, and how do I make it the best? Kashek Hashem Ha'od, Litgaber, Ritzanot, V'tchushot Eilu, and the Aaron Tem. It's hard to overcome these feelings, like, wow, I can do it, I'm just going to put my best into it. Kashesh, Shalom Lidlabein, it's hard not to, like, stand out. Shalom Lashkia, Mashu Mani Shali, not to put something of me into it. Madua Lero Kechoser, Loka Original. Why should I just do what I've been told? Let me be original. Kimei Brazim, Loki Be'er Mayana Mavchim Mechachim Tami, it's great imagery, right? Who wants to be a faucet? I'd rather be a well, or I'd like to be a river, right? That's exciting. That's all's well that ends well. That's the current, and you want to be current, right? Being able to just renewal. A faucet, like, what's the big deal? You just turn on the faucet. Aaron HaKohen said, that's fine by me. If this is what Hashem wants me to do, I'll do exactly what he tells me. Achzoa shifcho shalaro, shaloshina, shetamir amal l'neged avr tzon Hashem etzavato pekudato. What he was first and foremost on his mind was being able to do what the will of God is. Shitzliach lashlit emamar Hashem ritzonov haishi. The will of God is primary over his will. Shiada hevin vekir ki baluto shel adam bali debitui. That the ani mitkayim al dvar Hashem. The whole idea of self is being able to sublimate self to do the will of God. It's like the well-known story of a fellow who goes on a business trip and gets very sick, and he knows he's going to die, and he says to his assistant, look, I have $100,000 on me. Take whatever you want and give whatever you want to my wife. So the guy says, great. Fellow dies, comes back to the wife and says, your husband said I could take whatever I want and give you whatever I want. So I'm taking $95,000, I'm giving you $5,000. What? You're taking $95,000, giving me $5,000? That's not fair. So she said, let's go to the Rav. The Rav says, okay, tell me exactly what he said. He says, I should take whatever I want and give his wife whatever I want. He says, give her the $95,000. What? Yeah, listen closely to what he says. Take whatever you want. You wanted the $95,000. Now give whatever you want over to her. And that's our job. Our job is to recognize what we want and recognize who we are and give it over completely to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the beauty of Aaron. Aaron here is told, as Rav Druk points out in source number 11, Shochad dola mishalahem, yours is going to be greater than them. Hey, that's pretty good. Right, I'm going to walk in feeling like, you know, God really loves me. God loves everything I do. There's a little bit of gaiva there. He's not doing it for the honor. He's not doing what everyone's going to say. I'm doing this solely, and it's a very hard level to reach. This is Ritzon Hashem, and I want to fill Hashem's will. Aaron HaKohen is living the Or HaGadlus. The Or HaGadlus is being able to not have the chumriyot, not have the self, to be able to be almost, you know, transparent, to be able to see beyond what is Ritzon Hashem, what is the will of God. Lagid shivcho shel Aaron melamed shelo shina, this is the greatness of Aaron, that he doesn't change, he doesn't bring himself into it, he does exactly what Hashem wants, and it's not easy. It's not easy to do this because this is Ritzon Hashem, not because whatever the people will say, not because it makes me feel good, not because... It's only because this is Ritzon Hashem. And ultimately, that's why we do anything. As the Shari Chaim points out at the end of 12, Nimsenu Meidim She'ikar Havoda Yi Lasot HaMitzvah Kethi She'tzivanu Aburi B'tmimus U'Pishtut. Really, that's the MS in all of Avodas Hashem. Why am I blowing shofar? HaRachmana says, Hashem says, blow, tikkun, blow. Why am I lighting Shabbos candles? Hashem told me to do it. Why am I doing it? Hashem told me. There's a certain pushiness in doing this. The results of this are going to be enormous, says Rav Goldstein in Shari Chaim. Our job is to be able to do what we can do. That's how you're able to live in the living countenance of Hashem. What is Ritzon Hashem? And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. Not what I want from it. I want a lot of things. But is it about me or about God? Who am I serving? If there's an avodah zarah to serve yourself, there's an avodah zarah to do, you know, what makes you feel good. And if it doesn't make you feel good, I'm really not into it. Yeah, that's the rochim I like. Wow, people compliment my food, and people say how nice I am, and how generous I am. That means I can get into, oh, something else, and they don't even notice I can. What is it about me? It's a self-serving religion. And this has ramifications, this idea as well, 13, 14, 15, and 16, in terms of our seus mitzvos, how careful we have to be to do what God wants and not to create our own religion. And there are people who do this. There are people who say, you know, in the olden days, that's why they did things this way. But, you know, we're so much more advanced today. The halacha doesn't apply today. Or today it applies in this way. And then we're creating our own Judaism because we think that we're more advanced. We know better. And it's like the Dubna Magid gives us an example. A doctor who, in verse 15, who prescribes medicine. And the person says, well, you're going to tell me that this is the treatment? I think I have a better way of doing treatment. What do you know? Have you gone to medical school? Have you, you know, done stash? Like, what do you know about medicine? Right? You go on Dr. Google and you think you know how to, you know, identify the different diseases. Like, what do you think this is? And then people go on Rabbi Google, and they think they can know Judaism the same way. And it's a big danger, and this is a danger we know of Shlomo HaMelech, when the Chumash tells you, you shouldn't have a lot of wives, so you shouldn't turn away from God. Ah, it's not going to happen to me. Look at Shlomo HaMelech, 1,000 wives. What happened to him? It's not so pasha. And that's why, in Source 16, Bipradze, in the Arab, Suyan Aaron HaKohen L'Shevach, Aaron HaKohen is praised. Lamrod Shalubetach HaMikla Dadet Omet Pnim Yurt HaMitzvot. Of course he understood the depths of mitzvot. And of course it's important for us to have that understanding. Lo Nitpatel L'Astik Mitokach Maskanot Kol Shehem Shalok HaLacha. But that doesn't give me a right to then change halacha and do anything that I feel like. Rather, V'rak machshava achad hinichta oto, one thing led him. L'malei achar ritzon kono b'day kanua, to follow Hashem's will. Exactly. Zeh hayashivcha gadol shel Aaron, that was the shevach of Aaron. Shloshina v'lamro rum havanato pa'al b'diyuk kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. He understood the depth, he understood all the different ramifications, but that's not what drove him. That wasn't what said, wow, you know what I'm about to do is change the world, ignite hearts. I might be doing that. The Siyata Shemayim is going to come. The results are going to come. My job is to do this, Kikach, Sivani, Habore, the biggest Kavana. And it seems so simple, but it's not so simple. Is what does Hashem want for me, and this is how I'm going to do this. So idea number one in Chazal, of the greatness of Aaron HaKohen, Vayaskin Aaron, right, to tell us the Shevach, Milamed Shloshina, what was the greatness? That although he knew the depth, and although he knew the power of the menorah, what was the motivating force that he was thinking about when he lit the menorah? Vayaskin Aaron, Kashir Tivani. This is the way Hashem has commanded me. And this, my friends, is because he understood the Or HaGadlus. He understood that the real light is to be able not to deflect it at any point, to be able to see right through, and that includes ourselves. To be able to recognize that oftentimes we, and our ego, and our desires, and on all the list, get in the way. The feel-good religion. No, Kashir Tzivani Abore, this is what Hashem wants. The second aspect, which is very much connected to the first aspect, will introduce with a gewaltic imagery in Rav Igbi in Chochmah Matzpon, source 17. And he says the following. Kol mitzvah u'mitzvah nitiyah nechbadahi. This is absolutely beautiful. Every mitzvah is like a plant, right? Or is a ruah latzadik u'li shrei lev simcha. It's planted. It's part of the great orchard, the great garden that Hashem originally planted. Asher sham sam et hadam, asher sam sham et hadam asher yatzar, and there Hashem placed man that he made. Ubal hagan hu ayode kol neta veneta v'chol hakefo v'kavanato, and kavanatav, and the gardener knows every single plant, the beauty, the uniqueness, the specialness. Huiparashmo, she'er kol mitzvah mitzvah b'tiktuk gadol litamein la'adam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows how every mitzvah is going to impact every person in what way. Right? We know that 365 lotase corresponding to 365 parts of our bodies, 248 positive corresponding to different limbs in the body, 365 days, each mitzvah corresponds to a different day of the year. I mean, the complexity is enormous. How do you think that you can pick and choose Judaism and say, well, this is what I want to do and this is what I won't do? Did you create this garden? Do you know the effects of every mitzvah? We have no idea of the impact and the extent of any mitzvah. We don't know the depth of every mitzvah. This is all part of the mindset of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who can tell you that? And that's why, my friends, we have to be very careful in this pick and choose Judaism. The beauty of Aaron HaKohen is highlighted in the Saba of Kelm in source 18. And he said the following. He says, Hadam eino nivchon dafka b'masim dolim v'atzumim. Man isn't only judged for the major things. Adarabba. Lufamim kal ladam lasot mifsaim dolim lasot batzalan nefashot v'kadomeh. You know, it's very easy, and it's all relative, when a great challenge happens, and a great nisayon happens, that you step to the plate, and you're able to do this, and a big mitzvah comes your way, right, and you know, solves the fashos, you raise the money, you save somebody, wow, you feel great, it is great. What about the small things in life? This was in source number 20, Rav Friedlander, we've seen this source many times. The greatness of David HaMelech was that he was tested with the sheep. And one of the reasons he says is, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaseh, the end of 20, et hadam bochem madregato dafka bedvarim kanim. Hashem dafka, specifically, tests the person in the small things. Ubi naguto b'chayei ha-shigra shebechol yom, in the routine of every day. Ki lufamim kasher adem omei bifnei nisayon gadol v'kashev u'muldal l'ka shezei nisayon yitachein shaf misheino pal madrega gvoha yitameit lamo b'nisayon. If it's, you know, that major moment, even a person's not great, they're going to be able to respond. The greatness of a person is how do you respond on an everyday level. When the same Mishulah comes over and over again to your door, right before I taped, same woman comes every 2 or 3 weeks. So, I can't even figure out the story. It just gets worse and worse every week, if such a thing is possible. How do you respond to her? How do you have patience for her? How do you sit with her? That's the test. Not with, you know, the one-time, you know, donation of. These are the shigra of yom-yom. how you deal with this. I mean, this was a lady that even I had a chesed student on Thursday night. I wasn't home once. I was at a simcha. She said there was a knock at the door, and I even recognized her. Now, that's if your chesed girl recognizes her, you know that she's a regular. How do you deal with them? And this is why, going back in 18, Zerom Ramzal, Havei Zahir B'mitzvah Kala Kibachamura. You have to be careful with a small mitzvah as a great one. Ki atzadikim hamitiim osim esek b'mitzvah kalos shebekalos. Ki lo hayta chamuros shebechamuros. You want to know the mark of a righteous person? An easy mitzvah. And everyone defines an easy mitzvah. Simple thing. They treat with the same severity and intensity and mindset as the greatest of the mitzvahs, or the most challenging of the mitzvahs. You know what's a perfect example he brings? Avraham Avinu. You know, the Chumash, Parsha Vayera, hones into Avraham Avinu's home, third day of first Mila, looking for strangers. These three Arabs come. He shechs three animals. He gives each one the finest tongue. He gives them the... Three strangers coming to his house. Is that a big deal? Yeah. Why does the Chumash mention it? Because you might think, Achnasan Rachim, okay, you give someone food, it's not such a big deal. You're right, it may not be a big deal, but the Chumash is telling us that the small acts in Yiddishkeit are a big deal. Have a zahir b'mitzvah kala kibachamura. Be careful with an easy mitzvah as a great one. Zohi shivcho shal Aaron shayuloi naim laro. The greatness of Aaron we his eyes to see. Shemit pulak tana kazu the Aaron 18, the small act. Shal hatayat haptilot. All he's doing is fixing the wicks. Hayta etzlo esek ilu nichnaf lifnai v'lifnim for Aaron HaKohen. He put the same energy as if he was walking into the Kodesh Kodashim. Lama? Why? Ki mabato haya kasher tziva shel Moshe. Because this is what Hashem commanded Moshe. V'lachei lo shina. Therefore he didn't change. Haynu ki ilu oseh achshav et havodah nala biyoteh. Lo shina mean it made no difference to him. Not that he didn't change what God had commanded, which was we love Allah and God, right? He did it exactly as he was told and didn't bring aspects that were inappropriate, or I think this would be better to do it this way. That's idea one. Idea number two, the Chiddush is Shaloshina. He didn't change his attitude. It was the same attitude of the greatest to the smallest. Because Kasher Sifa Hashem Moshe. It's exactly what Hashem taught Moshe. And this, going back into 19, echoing this idea, he says so beautifully, Ki ein lahem l'chein ma'asem sh'roshayim in the dafka gadlus. Wicked people are looking for the bigger and better. Ki ein lahem einayim l'ro ta'or ha'gadlus. Why? Because they can't see that concealed light. Avol tzadikim yesh lahem einayim l'ro. Tzadikim see that a mitzvah has a concealed light. Tzadikim see that in the greatest moments and in the smallest moments, in that which we think are the most major and that the smallest, it's the Or HaGadlus, it's the will of God. The Sefer Shlomo brings down, and I forgot which Rebbe, he said that when he looked back on his life, he thought that the most major moments in his life were really not significant. And those small moments in life, in retrospect, were the most major moments. When you understand that everything is the Or HaGadlus, when you understand, let's go on. V'zeu shemar v'yaskein Aaron, the end of 19, kasher tziva Hashem Moshe, peirush davar kal kazeh, something simple, latod haptilot lifnim, hayetzo esagadol, something major, come on, thou go like this, and say lifnim. V'chan levavo bazeh, bekavanah gdola, mosol kasher tziva Hashem Moshe. Why? Squiggly. Ki ra'ah ha'or ha'gadlus v'davar katan hazeh. He saw that light. He saw God's will. That's why it's worth having a whole pasuk in the Torah. Lo dia ke'en katnu l'fan of Yisbarach. It's quoting here the staff of Kel. There's nothing small in front of God. V'davar ha'nirel lani yoter katan hu ba'ofen yoter gadol. The small things are really the major things. The Tiva Torah echoing this in 22a, he says, when you understand, Shekein Hayov v'chol haTorah nitana miyad ro'eh echad, it's the same God who's commanding everything. Lachem tzuchim l'keim v'kol ha'mitzvot ba'otai garuot. That's why you have to have the same fabring, the same passion for everything that Hashem commands, because everything is coming for the same Ribono Shel Olam. You know, there's a Maisa that we've mentioned before, such a sweet story, that Rav Pinkus brings down in Sefer Nefesh Chaya. Different versions of the story, but more or less it goes the following, of a Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim who gets a wedding invitation from another Rav, another Rosh Yeshiva in Switzerland. So he looks at the return address, vaguely the name sounds vaguely familiar, he was with his fellow in Panovich years ago. Sees the fellow's child is getting married, Mazel Tov, and is wondering why he's getting invited. He hasn't been in touch with his fellow in years, like 30 years, whatever. And not only that, there's an airplane ticket enclosed. So that's like really, whoa. So he closes his fellow up, Mazel Tov, you know, haven't been in touch, Shmooze. And in a nice way, he says, very nice you invited me, but the airplane ticket on top. So this Rosh Yeshiva in Switzerland, Sref in Switzerland, tells him the following story. He says, I came as a bacher to Panovich many years ago, and I was a foreigner, I was from Switzerland, a different language, different mindset, different culture, and I just didn't make it in Panovich. It was just totally strange for me. And I kept on calling my parents, send me home, and like all good parents, they say, waited out, and finally they said, you know what, you've waited it out, you've tried your best, you'll come into the family business, you've given it your best shot. So I was going to call the travel agent in the, afternoon break, you know, after mornings later. And I was sitting and learning, and I was bent over. And he said, and you, referring to this Rosh Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, you went behind me to put away a safer, whatever you were doing. And you saw that my collar was up on my shirt, on my jacket, whatever. And you put it down, and you patted me on the shoulder, and you smiled, and you went on. He said, at that moment, I said, somebody cares about me. I belong. He said, that moment was such a transformational moment in my life that I decided, you know what? I'm not going home. I'm going to stay. And I stayed in Panovich, and I became Rosh Yeshiva because of it. And my child is married, a person of this stature, all because of that collar moment of just putting down my collar and smiling at me. Rabosai, do you understand? These are moments in life that we can't even fathom. How those small moments, and you would say, you know, you give a shir in Panovich or a shach, that's major. It is major, we're not minimizing it. But you also don't know of the smile to somebody, the kind word to somebody, the giving that confidence to somebody, small things that we can do all day. It doesn't take anything from us. How many minutes does it take? This can change a person's life too. A mitzvah kala kibachamura, that's what it's about. An example in 24 of a mitzvah kala Rav Sternbach gives as a mindset when we're talking here about the greatness of Aaron, that he was able to treat an easy mitzvah like a difficult one. The lighting the menorah and setting up the menorah like, you know, the ketoret or the f'nai v'lifnim. The example that he gives, 24, Rav Sternbach. The Bali Musar say that Aaron was praised because he treated the mitzvah, which does not involve a lot of effort, with the same level of enthusiasm and joy as other mitzvahs that involve much more effort. As it said, be heedful of a light precept as much of a grave one, right? Having zayim a mitzvah kalik b'chamura. An example of a light mitzvah, which does not involve much effort and which people tend to disparage, is the obligation to recite 100 brachos every day. According to the Poskim, it's an obligation to raisa. Again, for women, it's different. On Shabbos, there are 13 brachos missing. Many people are not careful about completing the mandatory brachos. The Mekubalim explains the wonderful school to undertake to recite 100 brachos every day, including Shabbos. As we find with David HaMelech, in whose time 100 people were dying every day and the plague stopped, when he instituted that 100 brachos should be recited each day. Similarly, one who becomes accustomed to fulfilling this obligation will surely experience wonders. The reason for this is that the purpose of this practice is to enable us to say 100 times in the course of every day, blessed are you, Hashem, our God. So we'll constantly remember that Hashem watches over us, and all our actions are dependent on Him. And that's why the Sfarim say that we eat all day. I mean, some of us eat more than others. But why do we have this need to eat and to relieve ourselves? It's an opportunity to connect with God in our physical day. And how we're dependent on Him, and our actions are. And everyone who's closely connected to Hashem and cleaves to Him, attributing everything only to Him, merits salvation beyond nature. It goes without saying that the greater concentration will do to each breath is recited, the greater is the effect of the school to be saved from misfortune. And this is something that I've been teaching a lot in my groups in Beit Shemesh, is that, Rav Beit Shemesh, is that there is some embarrassment in saying a bracha out loud. Like, we're thanking God, and I'm embarrassed about thanking God. Like, what is it that we're embarrassed to say a bracha out loud? That I'm sitting at a table, and we can answer amen. What an opportunity. And it's something to train our children with. We say bracha out loud. They start saying brachas out loud. And it becomes an environment of growth, of learning, of connection. And this is what we're talking about. It sounds so easy. Like, what does it take for me to say a shahakol on a cup of water? What does it take for me to say a shahakol out loud? What does it take for me to answer amen? These are mitzvah kalos. But these are the mitzvah kalos, the chelushina. That there's no difference between that and keeping Shabbos and anything else. Each one of them is a plant in the garden of God. And if any of you know anything about gardening, I have zero clue. You know that every flower needs certain sunlight, needs certain moisture, needs certain environment, certain conditions, certain... And everyone has a special tuna, a special character trait to them. This flower is good for, and this good, and this... And their medicinal purposes, and the smell, and you plant them in certain ways. It's brilliant. It's an art, gardening, right? Particularly if you go to these gardens. Wow, my Rebbe Masech Hashem, mitzvahs are so much more the beauty of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This, my friends, let's summarize what we've seen, and now we can go into level 3. What was the greatness of Aaron? Was the Oraganus. He was able to light that fire, be able to see. Misofo, lamvatsofo. Godliness. There's no place to void of God. You see God everywhere. What's the upshot of that one is it's not about me. I don't step in the way. And therefore, I'm able to do it exactly as Hashem says. I'm not doing it because I feel good. I'm not doing it because I pick and choose Judaism. I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me to do this. I'm doing this because this is the way Hashem wants it done, and that's how I'm doing it. I'm not trying to, reform my Judaism. This is how we have to do it. If I understand that, my friends, that I understand that if Hashem has commanded it, then really every single mitzvah has an Ora Ganus in it. Every single mitzvah has a light, has an energy. Every single mitzvah has the ability to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every mitzvah. And therefore, I don't say, wow, the big mitzvahs I'm going to do, and the small, right? Ekev asher tishmu, dam dash bikvav, like brachos, for example. Every mitzvah has a different quality to it. And we don't know the quality. We're not the gardener. We don't know the larger picture. Our job is to be able to see. Not like, the Western world, the bigger, the better. In Yiddishkeit, the small is beautiful. It's amazing. It's powerful. It's those color moments that can shift a person's life. If I understand this, my friends, that I understand that every time I do a mitzvah is an opportunity of connection. Every time I do a mitzvah is to be able to uncover that Or HaGadol, that light. And therefore, every time I do a mitzvah, there's a feeling of itchatshus, of renewal. And that's the third idea that we learn about Aaron from our pasuk. Says the Sfas-Emes, next page, source 25, that usually when a person starts something new, he feels very enthusiastic about what he's doing. He's excited about the good he's doing and feels very motivated. But after some time passes, the enthusiasm and excitement gets lost. This was the praise of Aaron. Every time he lit the lamp in the tabernacle, he did so with the same enthusiasm as on the first day. There are many projects that people start with much enthusiasm and special excitement in starting something new. But after doing the same thing over and over, people get bored and often give up in the middle. In order to accomplish anything, one needs to master the ability of sustaining enthusiasm. The more enthusiastic one is, the more motivated he'll be to continue. Always focus on the value of what you're doing and view it as if this was the first time. And that's how the Sefer Siftei Dad, explaining this Fasema, says, V'nei Aliba de Emes, verse 26 of the Dad, Ha'itlavus v'shanayim u'v'charpiyotam. That first time, right, the bar mitzvah boy putting on the tefillin for the first time, right? Many of you remember your sons not right, putting it on for the first time. Everything afterwards pales to that first moment lighting Shabbos candles. Al af shi'aslich adam lo reir b'atzmo eish chadasha, lo reir shirishana ka reir mamshichut darka. The first light. You may have great moments later on, but that first, you can't beat it. V'zeh shemathin b'aron ha'kohen shelo shina. That's what it means. Third interpretation, he didn't switch. Lotama etzlo ha'islavos harishona v'lo kapta. He never extinguished that first moment. He lit the menorah every time with that same enthusiasm as he did the first time. And there's an interesting idea that Rav Zaitchik in Ur Chadash learns from this idea. He says, Hine tzivui Hashem. This is something beautiful. The command of God, anytime we have a mitzvah, it's hitgalut hashchina v'arasparim. It's revelation of godliness. It's meeting God face to face. And when you do the will of God, you say that bracha, you light those Shabbos candles, whatever it is, the whole world fills with the light of God. And the whole world is filled with the perfume of this heavenly smell. Hadibur melafe basagara rozet ta'amim mitukim. We have no idea of all that's involved in every mitzvah, the power that it has. This moment, the first moment of doing a mitzvah, is like starting this energy of haresponim, of connection to God. And he says, this perhaps is the reason why we have so many times, the Chumash, it says, we should remember the day we stood in front of Hashem at Har Sinai. Why? Because when you remember that day, you're remembering at Hadveikus Vashras Valyona Shaita Har Sinai. Go back to the original time that we were commanded. Wow, we just had Shavuos, the fire, the light, the kol shofar, the call of God, the sound of the shofar, the sound of God. Wow! If we're able to use our imagination to connect to that moment, so then when Hashem is commanding me now, I'm hearing an echo of it, a reverberation of it, and that brings a certain power and a certain enormity to what I'm doing. And this is our challenge. Our challenge is that we don't become mitzvah sanashim lumada. Oh, I've done that. Oh gosh, again, same bracha, same this. If you look at it as the same as the same, you've lost it. If you look at it as another opportunity to be able to tap into the first. I remember once being in a shul, very small, so as mamish behind the man, and a person got an aliyah, and an older person, right? And they said the brachos like a bar mitzvah boy, right? However, you know, baruch, right? And I remember two fellows in the back snickering. Oh, what does he think? A bar mitzvah boy at his age? And I'm thinking, like, wow, could you imagine the age of 40 to say the brachos like a bar mitzvah boy? That's pretty impressive. Melamed shelo shina. That's being able to take that moment and be able to relive it over and over again. Because now I'm different, but the moment is still part of me. And I want to make it part of me because it brings that excitement. Melamed shelo shina. He had that momentum every time. How did he do that? He was able to lock in that first moment and repeat that same enthusiasm, that same bracha, that same lighting. Wow, Hashem wants me to do this. Wow. And he says, this is what it means, Shochal Olam Kayemet. Aaron will always be there. What it will be there? That aspect of his lavos, of being able to put in passion. So now, my friends, the question is, in the short time we have remaining, how do we do this practically? I understand we have the Or HaGadol. I understand that every mitzvah is important. I understand we have to do it as Hashem commanded. I have to understand we should have the passion and enthusiasm of the first time. I also understand I'm human. I also understand I don't necessarily see the Or HaGadol. I also understand I don't necessarily see godliness in every mitzvah. I also understand that I don't remember the first time I did half the mitzvah. I was supposed to bring back that passion, that enthusiasm, until practically. So I'd like to make a few suggestions. And obviously every person needs to do what's going to speak to them. The first is Rabbi Milevsky. And he speaks about in Parshas Nosa, we have the Birkus Kohanim right before the inauguration of the menorah, of the Mishkan. And obviously there's a connection between the two. And he speaks about, this is source number 29, that Birkus Kohanim is said every day twice in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz, the Sephardim say it on Shabbos, or every day, and the Ashkenazim are only say it, we know, on the festivals. Right? It's a big thing to come for Birkus Kohanim, like, wow, we just heard it on Shavuos twice, I'm sure of, like, you know, people come, women, children, around Birkus Kohanim, the tunes, it's powerful. So why don't we have it every day? So they say that you have to have Birkus Kohanim being happy. In fact, there's some shittas that say that if a Kohen isn't married, he shouldn't duchen, he shouldn't bless the people, because you can't be fully happy without a spouse. So, okay, I understand that you need to be happy, Yantif, you're happy, and therefore you have Birkus Kohanim on Yantif. So then the question becomes, well, hold on a second. How come we only have it in Musaf? Like in Eretz Yisrael, you have Shacharis, Birkus Kohanim, and Shemoneh Esrei, and in Musaf. How come in Chutz La'aretz, if you're ready, go down Birkus Kohanim on Yantif? And Yantif is a time of Simcha. So why not have it twice? Why once? So here he says the following. The reason, right above the asterisk in 29, the reason, says Ramah, is that Musaf is at the end of the services. And since people know that in a few minutes it will be over, and they will go home to enjoy their festive meal, it puts them in a good mood. This excitement that we see the Kohanim must feel when reciting Birkas Kohanim was also the element of Yitchashus as the essence of the inauguration. And this is the excitement that the Kohanim felt when lighting menorah that gave this mitzvah to the element of inauguration. And it's this concept that we learn must be applied to every mitzvah. We must feel such excitement, such newness, every time we perform mitzvah. Unfortunately, however, says the Ramah, we have lost that excitement in performing the mitzvahs. Therefore, nowadays, we should do whatever we can to make ourselves excited about doing a mitzvah, even if it's through artificial means. Thus, a few minutes before davening is over, if one is relieved in thinking about the food that is waiting, one should direct this happiness to the performance of mitzvahs. Even if the feeling is completely artificial, one should take advantage of it, because there's an element of itchachos in it. When we perform a mitzvah, we should create our own sense of excitement, however artificial. And this is what it means in the asterisk. God told Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron was afraid that the excitement that people are experiencing with the inauguration of the Mishkan would pass, and the day would come when the Jews would lose that feeling of newness. With the onset of boredom, they no longer want to perform the mitzvahs. And the asterisk in 31, in response to this concern, Hashem told him, by performing this mitzvah that I give you, you will inject into the people the level of itchachos. Even people's level of excitement will diminish, because of you it will regain its strength. Avraham Avinu gave us generosity as a national trait. Moshe gave us the characteristic of seeking truth. And Aaron gave us the characteristic of finding excitement in the same mitzvahs that we've been doing for generations. Itchachos. Whatever it takes. It might have to be an external medium to make a person excited. Whatever it's going to be, it's worth doing. One way, how do we feel itchachos? Be creative. Create. Like we create for our kids excitement and a matzav. That's what we have to create for ourselves, to be excited in doing mitzvos. The second idea, Rav Wolpe 32 in the Dat, Avazu Dati. If you want to feel love for God, you want to feel that passion, it takes knowledge. Knowledge means forethought. Knowledge means, if you're going to do it out of rote, there's no knowledge, no thinking, and obviously no joy. This is something we've seen many times, source 34, and it's just so fundamental. The Gra wrote that the way, it's mindfulness, the way to focus on learning. A student should imagine that the page of the Daf of Torah he's presently studying is the only page in existence, nothing before it, after it. He should think that he's the only individual in the world who's been given divine responsibility to master this piece of Torah. He should believe this is the only opportunity you will ever have to grasp it. That's it. This is the only shakol I will ever say at this moment in my life. There's no one else whose bracha was worth anything at this moment as mine is. And this is my responsibility to say this the best way possible. It's hard to do, at least it's knowledge. Ava Zudat, and that brings you simcha. Think about what you're doing. As we've spoken about from the Bali Musar, ask yourself two questions. What am I doing? And in front of whom I'm doing this. So one is hitrachus. Renewal is by creating an external stimuli. I'm about to have a meal. I'm excited. Birkas Gaudi. Two is being able to think about what you're doing. And when you think about it, you say, wow, this is amazing. This is exciting. Wow. Right? If you think about what you're doing, you're able to say Kutzei Chomer. You're able to say a bracha to God, right? Who are you? Flesh and blood can say a bracha. As the Sefer Shalom says, Sal of Arino, Zecher Bachusa, you should be singing and dancing for joy that you can mention God's name. Gives you a different perspective. Three. Rav Volpe says, and he quotes here an idea that everyone has certain mitzvos that speak to them. Certain things that they get a geschmack in. At least in those mitzvos, invest in what you're doing. Im b'Shabbat, top of 33, Im b'Chesed, l'chol ha'pachot, b'cha mitzvot, nishtadel l'orir simcha amiti. At least find in something some awareness. To go through your whole life like an automaton is pretty sad. Lo nikanes v'peta b'tom l'mitzvah zu. In this mitzvah, don't walk in suddenly. V'nitvonim, k'a mitzvah zu. Tzivakrish baruch hu b'atzmo, v'ito anu mitkashrim al yada. At least in this mitzvah, feel the connection to Hashem. Feel the simcha in the mitzvah. Don't just jump into this mitzvah. If Shabbos candles give you real joy, think about it beforehand. Sing with it. Whatever it is. So, in the ideal world, every mitzvah, stop and think about what you're doing. In the practical world that we're building to the perfect world, is whatever mitzvah I feel like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this mitzvah. I love this mitzvah. Wow, it makes me so happy. Stop for a minute and say, wow, mitzvah's connection. Mitzvah is finding that or haganos. I'm revealing godliness in this world. I'm, you know, unleashing tremendous power of connection to God. Wow, unbelievable, incredible, wow. And in those mitzvahs, connect. There is another beautiful idea Rav Belovsky says, where he says that, I'm going to squiggle in 36, so Sfasemis interprets a verse, educate each child according to his nature. And he speaks about, in the earlier paragraph, we must infuse our children's education with the ingredient of inauguration. The essence of education is arousing a child's excitement over mitzvahs, making it feel always as if you're doing them for the first time, feeling the newness of everything, excitement. So the Sfasemis teaches the pasuk, educate each child now according to his own nature, then even when he grows old, he'll not abandon the path. A simple explanation of the verse is educating a child well guarantees he'll remain a good person. The Sfasemis, however, defines his advice as far more specific in this verse. Educate the nar, the young man. Make sure that the education you give him is an education of nar. Nar from his naros, to awaken, to be excited. So always retain their feeling of freshness and delight in doing good. Then, even when he grows old, his young spirit will never abandon him, for he has been trained in the attitude of Itchachos. How does one achieve this quality of renewal? Going back full circle, through working on himself and contemplating the fact that God has given this mitzvah. A person should tell himself how lucky he is to be a Jew. As a Jew, he has a mission that is vitally important, and this mission can be expressed only through the mitzvah. When you're able to find that Ur HaGadlus, when you're able to have that reality, it's the way the Kuzari describes it in the asterisk in 32, Kachsanya Karul Shulchano, that you are a guest being invited kivyuchel to Hashem's table. Hashem is interested in your bracha. Hashem is interested in your Shabbos. Hashem is interested in your Torah. Hashem is interested in your chesed. When you feel that special connection, when you realize, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, how fortunate we are to have mitzvot, how fortunate we are to live in this garden. Wow, beautiful, special it is. When I'm able to tap into these feelings, I'm tapping into the Ur HaGadlus. I'm tapping into the goal of the menorah. So this pasuk melamed, Vayaskein Aaron melamed Shloshina, that he didn't change, is a message and a calling for all of us. Why am I doing this mitzvah? Hashem commanded me. I have all of these thoughts in my head. Yes, and they're important for me to know. But ultimately, it's because God commanded me. Two, Big mitzvah, little mitzvah, doesn't matter. Hashem commanded every mitzvah. I do every mitzvah with joy and with passion and enthusiasm. It's hard to get the passion and enthusiasm. Create it externally. Find what sparks you and build on it. Do whatever you need to do to be able to have that mindfulness that this is what Hashem wants me to do at this moment. Wow! And if I can be able for just a moment, even once a day, before doing a mitzvah, saying, wow, I am about to peel off that Or HaGadlus into this world. The world is going to fill with light of clarity, of Ein Od Mavado, that when I'm stopping and I'm bringing God into my life and I'm bringing godliness into my life and I feel Hashem's presence, that there's no place devoid of His presence. At that moment, I've connected to the deepest part of what the Or HaGadlus is about. And then, Melamed Shaloshina, there's no change here. It's going back to the original way Hashem envisioned the world to be, the way Hashem envisioned me doing a mitzvah. And in that way, I am tapping into that Hitchatzus, that renewal. Shochag Dolam Mishalahem, yours is greater than theirs, because yours is Kayem El Olam, is forever. And every time we have that feeling of Hitchatzus, that feeling of renewal, we have once again tapped into Aaron HaKohen's gift to us, to be able to light that menorah, to be able to find that Or HaGadlus, that concealed light.